If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Wednesday's edition of Birds 365 after the initial 53-man roster is released. Joined now by Andrew DiCecco from Inside the Birds. Follow him on X at Andrew DiCecco. Andrew, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How you doing?
Good to see you, Andrew. I, you know, first of all, I want to send my condolences. Your reign is over as the champion of the roster prediction. By the way, I just Art Stapleton, who covers the New York Giants, it does a great job for the Bergen Record. He won the Giants beat writer pool. He got 5 wrong, Andrew. If you get 5 wrong in Philadelphia, you're drummed out of the media corps. And he won the damn thing.
We'd be the bell of the ball over there, John. I can't get five wrong. No,
yeah.
But some got 4 wrong. I mean, that's pretty egregious, but
yeah. I'm disgusted at myself. I got 3 wrong. I'm disgusted. But I believe in accountability from Nick Sirianni. Congratulations, Art Stapleton. I imagine it's tougher because the Giants stink. But, boy, 5 wrong. Wins.
That low bar.
Yeah, very low bar. All right. Enough of that. Roster, initial thoughts on the initial 53. What stood out to Andrew DiCecco?
Not a lot of shock, although going light with 2 tight ends was something that caught my eye. Also, the lack of a backup center, a true backup center. Now, Trevor Keegan can play all the interior positions, but he hasn't done it in training camp. Landon Dickerson, of course, could slide over, but that also leaves you a little bit weaker along the interior at the guard spot. And then I thought going heavier at corner and safety, really, 11 defensive backs is pretty heavy to go. Bradbury's here. That was something that you and I had talked about at length throughout the summer. I didn't see a world where he was here, still to be determined whether or not he will be in the future. But 5 safeties is an awful lot.
Yeah. They were heavy everywhere on defense, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, then we went 22 guys on offense, yeah. Which, I mean, that's pretty – I have to think that's going to tilt.
Yeah, it's got to tilt. You got 6 edge rushers. You got 6 interior defensive guys. Even I saw a bunch of teams keep 4 linebackers, devalued. The Eagles kept 5. As you mentioned, 11 defensive backs, depending how you want to label them, because Avante can play both. James can play both. Yeah, very – does that I mean, I've been talking about this for a couple weeks, Andrew, and my thought is, and I probably said it to you at practice, obviously the Eagles offense, the starters, tremendous, top of the league, but there's more depth on the defense than the offense. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree wholeheartedly, John. When you look at the offense, there's a big drop-off at wide receiver after Jahan Dotson. Who is your veteran that you can rely on? Who can step in and play outside aside from Dotson? That's a pretty sizable void out there. And I also would say tight end, which you and I both are of the belief that they're going to address that, whether that be a Donald Parham, whether that be a Jack Stoll, or loading it up on the practice squad. And then the offensive line, we talked about it. I mean, I don't know that Dylan McMahon was ever going to be a viable solution at any point this season to step in at center. But to not have a backup center on the 53 initially, at least, is kind of, you know, confounding. But that there's not a lot of depth there.
Yeah. No doubt. Andrew, one of the guys that did make the team, that really wasn't a question, but was Ben Van Sumeren. And you talked about him a lot on Twitter, just that he's impressed you in camp. What have you seen from Ben? And do you think he has a chance to have a real impact in games this year for the Eagles?
You know, it's funny, Xander, because guys like Ben Van Sumeren and Patrick Johnson don't really get discussed until days like this. But from what I've seen from Ben Van Sumeren from the spring through the summer, even really last year, you could argue that his start on Christmas Day was the best start by an Eagles linebacker all season. Low bar, I understand that. But you see the instincts, you see the intangibles that he brings. And I thought that he really parlayed that into a successful spring and carried it out throughout the summer. He got some second team work. He got even some sprinkling with the first team, but he's fast. He's athletic. My understanding is the Eagles really like him. Obviously, they kept him on the roster, but he kept getting opportunities, which you could read between the lines about where they think he is in terms of his development. You don't want to part with somebody like that who's 24 years old with all that athleticism, which is why he edged out Oren Burks.
And he can run routes too. We learned that.
Yeah, he used to be a record-setting wide receiver in high school. And he played running back at college for a little bit.
Yeah, played running back. He was more of an athlete. When you see those guys, those high-level recruits, and they call them athlete because they haven't decided their position yet, it's kind of like Ben. Tremendous.
I wouldn't be surprised, John, if later in the season he's factoring in defensively.
I've said that, man. And people,
I really do.
That, I'm like, if I've said this pretty consistently, if you want to default to Devin White and Zach Bond, I don't think you're going to get that much better play with that duo than, say, Ben Van Sumeren and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. You are, especially early, but if those guys were forced to play, I don't think the difference is that great. I really don't.
No, especially if you know they're going to be a piece of the future, and someone like a Zach Bond or a Devin White, by all accounts, will not be. I think Ben has shown you that he gets better with reps. Jeremiah Trotter, as a rookie, certainly will get better with reps. Nakobe Dean, the same thing. He hasn't played a ton of football. Those are guys who, for all intents and purposes, are going to be here for the foreseeable future, so why not get them opportunities? And by the way, I do think that Trotter Jr., Nakobe, and Ben all offer varying degrees of intrigue.
Yeah. Well, I think Nakobe's the best linebacker on the team. I stand by it. I think ultimately that will play out this season. I think people will get to see that. But you do have to worry about the durability and the health and all that kind of thing with Nakobe Dean. But I think he's ready to take a big step forward. Cornerback, Josh Jobe versus Eli Ricks. Maybe it shouldn't have been a surprise. They've done it 2 years now. Look, if it comes down to special teams or coverage ability, how he's going to keep the coverage guy. And I guess I can't blame him, because if you're going to claim somebody on waivers, you might claim somebody who's got upside as a coverage player at cornerback, but, you know, if it's just a special teams guy, you're probably not going to claim him.
I'm sure if Michael Clay had to bang the table for one player, it would have been Josh Jobe. That's the first player he mentions all the time. He's given me some great answers on what Jobe brings to the unit, but it had come to the point, John, this summer where Jobe had become virtually unplayable at corner. You heard Vic, when I asked him about Eli and Josh, said they've both done some good things, but they have to cut back on Josh's PI penalties. He's getting a little too grabby out there. We have to rectify that. And you see that manifest in the games. He sort of fell out of favor late last season. I got to know Josh because he lockered next to Eli. So we did the rookie diary. We would all have conversations. So I was really high on both players. But when it comes down to it, you're going to lean towards the 22-year-old cover corner who's more likely to get claimed via waivers than you are the special team standout.
Yeah. And difficult. That's a difficult one. Another difficult one. And this is the thing. I think when people, when you talk about getting guys back to the practice squad, and I've said it in this show, I say it a bunch, it's a two-way street. You know, sometimes guys might be unhappy that you pass them over for the 53. Julian Okwara was already out in Arizona visiting with the Cardinals. So he's obviously looking at his options. And when we talk about center, you got a bunch of guys who can play center. Dylan McMahon, most obviously, he'll be back. But I'm not sure, as you mentioned, he's going to be ready to help this year. And then you got the veteran guys, Nick Gates and Brett Toth, who did it. Brett Toth did it during training camp. He was the backup center most of the time. They've jerked him around a little bit. Maybe Brett starts thinking about life after Jeff Stoutland. That two-way street is a real thing, isn't it?
Sure it is, but there have to be other suitors. If not, you know, yeah, you can always go back to the what you know, which is Jeff Stoutland and the Eagles organization on the practice squad. But I have to think if you're him at this point in your career, you're going to want to look elsewhere. Maybe the same would apply for someone like a Teron Jackson, who has been on and off the practice squad. He's been on the 53. He's now waived again. You know, you might want to pursue other opportunities and find your way. You might find a more desirable destination elsewhere, but they do have to address that backup center spot. I think Nick Gates is an interesting player who you mentioned, John, because they signed him late in camp. So it would suggest that there weren't a lot of folks vying for his services. So you might be able to get him back on the practice squad. Maybe someone else shakes free through waivers that you like a little bit more, and you can kind of, you know, address it that way.
Another position, Andrew, is that tight end three. You mentioned it at the open. You think they go outside the organization for that, to fill that position?
I do. And one thing I'd mentioned about even a week ago is to keep an eye on Jack Stoll if he were to be on the outs with the Giants, right, because of the familiarity, because of his blocking prowess. For everything that EJ Jenkins did this summer, and believe me, he did some really good things, Xander, I didn't view him as one of the best 53 players on the roster. I didn't think he did enough. I thought he made notable strides, but I thought he was someone that you can safely get through waivers, develop him, and then maybe elevate him on game day if you need to. But I think that the answer was always going to be outside the organization. CJ Uzama didn't do anything to earn his spot. Alberto Quabenom got hurt. He had an abdomen injury for most of training camp. And you just didn't get anything from those other back-end guys like Fulsh and Armani Rogers. They were never really viable contenders. So I think the answer is outside the organization.
Edge rusher is an interesting position because I think, you know, it's perceived that Patrick Johnson is the sixth guy. He might be the fourth guy. And, you know, obviously you're not going to move on from Nolan Smith. And you shouldn't. I think people are closing the door on Nolan Smith. It's way too early for that. And then you have Jalix Hunt, who is more of a developmental prospect. And who knows? I think Vic Fangio is capable. If he's got a guy who can do one thing, he might be able to utilize that earlier than people might expect. But I look at Patrick Johnson as one of the most improved players on this team from last year to this year. You know, he's worked out, really remade his body, I would say. I used to say that about T.J. Edwards. If you saw T.J. Edwards the day he stepped in to the Eagles building versus the day he stepped out of it, completely different guy from a physical standpoint. I get some of those same vibes from Patrick Johnson. Am I too high on Patrick Johnson?
No, I don't think so, John, because you and I both know that the Eagles really like him. He factored, even as a rookie, a little bit on defense. And to make a team 4 years in a row as a seventh-round pick, I think that speaks volumes as to – because every year you're facing the same – you know, you're under the same scrutiny every year. And I think for him to be able to overcome that and this time redefine his body, or reimagine it, learn, you know, refine his pass rush with Pete Jenkins, former Eagles defensive line coach, in the offseason. He came back stronger. He added 10 pounds of lean muscle, and you see it manifest on the field. I thought he He was stout at the point of attack. I thought he was powerful off the edge. And he, look, say what you will, in that final preseason game, he was generating pressure off the edge and no one wasn't. But I'm with you on that. It's way too early for folks to write off Nolan Smith because he could very easily go out there week two, week three, rack up a couple sacks, and then everybody's back on the Nolan Smith train. They forgot, you know, all the slander that they've thrown on him, you know, the last few weeks. I think he's going to be just fine.
There is a lot of slander. That's
way too much.
Boy, yeah. way too much is right.
It's really irresponsible to throw to bash a guy before they've ever played a regular season game this year. You don't know how he's going to be utilized. Context is so important when you're assessing a young player. So I just think it's malpractice to really judge a player this early.
Makes sense. Andrew DeCecco, I want to ask you about the wide receiver three. You brought him up, or the wide receiver position as a whole. You brought up the Dotson trade. We haven't had you on since that trade. I want to get your reaction to the trade, what you think it does for this team. But you mentioned that big drop-off again. I thought they answered the bell a little bit with the drop-off by adding Dotson. How do you view that trade?
Yeah, I like the trade on the surface. Now, there's always questions to every trade. Why was he available? But you have to take it at face value. And you're getting a player who had 84 catches, 24 years old. He has the pedigree. He can give you inside and outside versatility. And he is exceptional in space with the ball in his hand. So when you look at offensive coordinator Kellen Moore and what he does best, he finds ways to get the ball into the hands of his playmakers and allows them to manufacture yards after the catch. I think that's really where he's going to come into play. I thought that there was a lot made of the third wide receiver spot. They needed to address it. But when you're looking at an offense that already runs through AJ, Devontae, Dallas Goedert, and now Saquon Barkley, even in the passing game, what's a realistic outcome for that third receiver? 35 catches, 400 yards? I thought they needed to address it. I didn't know they were going to do it to that magnitude, but I think you have to be really encouraged with the addition.
I think we all are going to be in tune to the waiver wire today. If the Eagles do claim somebody, or if they sign a veteran that got knocked off somewhere else, we've talked about Parham, for instance, as a potential tight end three with his history, with Kellen Moore's recent history. Who's your first guy off? Who's 53rd? If you have to make a decision.
Well, I was already talking about this last night. Player number 53 for me would be Eli Ricks.
Eli's a good one.
Yeah. I think Eli, when you look at where they stand right now, I think Thomas Booker, and yes, Vic Fangio doesn't traditionally adopt a rotational, you know, he's not big on rotating his defensive linemen. That's not his philosophy. But I think now the Eagles' organizational philosophy is rotating defensive linemen, which is why I think Thomas Booker is safe. He also gives you alignment versatility. Tristan McCollum gives you special teams acumen, whereas you lost Josh Jobe. Well, Tristan McCollum can play on the interior, exterior of the kick return. He can play personal protector. He can play gunner. All the things that Josh Jobe did, whereas James Bradbury cannot. So I think McCollum would be safe. Eli Ricks as that sixth corner, where you're pretty heavy in that area already. He doesn't give you a ton on special teams. He could also be a trade candidate, perhaps.
Yeah, I like it. Makes sense because, you know, Eli's the one guy where you would have to envision like a lot of things would have to happen for him to get on the field. Like a lot of things, injuries. They have so much depth at outside corner. He's not a great special teams player. Yeah, he might be number 53. Now I'm going to go to the waiver wire players from the Eagles. Not the veterans, so just the waiver wire guys. And we'll eliminate the guys who were hurt. So Jacob Harris was waived injured. You reported broke bones in the space, by the way.
In addition to the concussion, you know.
Best to him. That, all the best to him. That was a tremendous hit. And that was the opening kickoff against Minnesota, if you want to see it. And it was such a hit. He injured himself. Joseph Nada was waived injured as well. Caden Stearns is not healthy, non-football injury from that perspective. But then you got a bunch of guys from, we'll do it alphabetically, Gottlieb Aiyedze, all the way down to, I guess, Austin Watkins. Because there's one or two of those guys, those waiver wire guys that Andrew DeCecco wants to work with, One's back. Give me a couple names that you think the Eagles should do everything possible to keep working with.
For me, it's Andre Sam, first and foremost. I think Andre Sam, the undrafted safety, for those who don't know, I thought he had a really good summer, John, and I really started noticing him even more in the latter stages of training camp. He, number 35, I kept writing that name down in my notebook, that number down in my notebook. I noticed him getting a lot of reps with the second team. I think he showed well in the final preseason game, 92 snaps total he played. And he just needed time to develop. He's bounced around at three different colleges. He's a little bit older for a rookie at 25, but I think the Eagles like what they have there. He's not likely to get claimed via waivers because safeties typically don't. I think you can get him on the practice squad and continue to develop him. And then Gottlieb Aiyedze, you mentioned him right at the top. I think he's someone that he was injured when they first signed him, so they waived him. They brought him back, and we saw him have some really encouraging reps and one-on-ones. He shut down some of the, you know, more prominent pass rushers that the Eagles have. You know, I think he has some signs of develop, some signs of development there, and he's a bit raw, so that might be a Jeff Stoutland project.
Yeah, Jeff likes a project. That's true too. He likes a good project, and they generally give him.
How about for you? What do you who would you?
They give it. They generally give him one or two. To your point, they let him work with. Well, EJ would be one. EJ Jenkins, because I do think I'm with you. I don't think he's ready to play. Mm-hmm. I never thought he'd make the 53. Very raw prospect, but boy, he's got skills as a receiver.
Absolutely.
I think that's somebody you really want to bring back and work with. Also, you know, I'm with you with Andre Sam, but you mentioned him. Also, Brandon Smith, I was.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Press with.
Yeah. He had a concussion that actually knocked him out of 2 weeks of training camp. And it's interesting enough, John, that one of his family members actually called me when I was on the Fanatic the other day and was asking me about his summer and how he fared and how I assessed it. And so, like, it was something when you put it in perspective like that, you're racking your brain. He really did have a good summer.
Yeah, unfortunately, really it was did. When he was out there, big, long guy, too. Just I like the traits. Howie always talks about traits. I look at him and I say, boy, if it clicks, he could be something. And I think when he first got here, it was like, he's so big. You thought, well, he's more of an edge rusher. And then, you know, they put him an off-ball linebacker. I'm very intrigued by Brandon Smith. He was another guy. When I talk about their linebackers, I'm not sure about the starters, but I say it all the time. I like their depth at linebacker. First time in a long time.
Me too.
And that includes Brandon as well. So those would be my two. I'm trying to – and I guess Kendall Milton as well as a running back. I think you do need some size.
What about Lou Nichols? I think Lou had actually more work than Kendall did. Maybe perhaps they.
Yeah, so did Ty Davis Price. They both did. And Ty Davis Price is interesting because he was a third round pick. He was one of those futures guys out in San Francisco. He's a third round pick, but he just doesn't catch the football well enough for me to be an Eagles back. You know, they're obsessed with getting them involved in the passing game. But I just want a north-south runner.
He can do that. And I think if they needed to have an RB4 or they have to elevate someone, he would be the one, Ty Davis Price.
Yeah, he's probably the most definitely the most ready, I would say, to do that right away. My guess is because it's this year, Howie will lean towards Kendall Milton. And he showed some – I think, you know, Kendall Milton coming in, it was about – well, he's a big back. He can run. He can do the north side, but he's not very good as a pass catcher. He wasn't. And I thought he showed more in that. I thought he showed more as a natural pass catcher than either TDP or Lou Nichols.
And he really impressed me in his pass protection. I thought that really improved throughout the summer. That's something that I noted. And that's another thing that's going to keep you around. If you can do that as a running back, a young one at that. And I think he sort of checked off that box.
Yeah. So there's some of your, we like to get the people educated here. Nobody does that better than Andrew. Does a great job inside the Birds. You can read them there. As he mentioned, 97.5, the Fanatic, doing a great job with them as well. We'll get back to the initial 53, and that's what it is, initial 53. Your overriding thoughts on Howie's ability, kind of talked about this, and I think he used the term tricky, and he admitted he and Nick, and they had a nice back and forth. I thought it was a nice, refreshing, honest back and forth. They have different jobs, and Nick admitted sometimes the coaches are selfish. He brought up poor Jeremiah Washburn. He'd like to keep everybody. They always want to keep everybody at their particular position group. And Howie's got to think about now and the future. Do you think he threaded that needle this year? Because there's a couple veteran guys. We just talked about the waiver guys. But if you bring up the veteran guys they released, the Paris Campbells of the world, we mentioned Gates a little bit. They could probably help you in week one better than some of the guys you kept. Even Oren Burks, you can make that argument now that he's back healthy. You think Howie threaded the needle well enough?
Well, he skewed it drastically one direction because there's a very few Eagles right now on the roster that are older than 27 years old. So that could be good or bad, but I think you need to have a healthy dose of veterans as well to that. But I think he really prioritized keeping young players, developing them, didn't want to expose them to the waiver wire. And it almost is, I guess if you want to look at it like this, it's an overcorrection because last year they had a number of veterans, and I thought that they were very slow and lethargic, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And now they have a lot of youthful upside. So I think in a way he has threaded that needle, but because you can kind of counter that or couch it by putting some of those guys on the practice squad as well to balance it out.
Yeah, we do have to wait for that today. And Howie said that consistently. And he even afterwards, he said he wished he could talk today after the practice squad. And by the way, he can talk today. He's allowed to talk whenever he wants. Yeah. Yeah, he's allowed to talk. He will not, but he's allowed to talk. So we reminded him of that. But he's right. It is a fluid situation, and a bunch of these guys will be back. So last one for me. Andrew is a football guy. He knows football. That's why I love Andrew. He knows that. He's one of the guys who knows the most about the football aspect of this team. Who's the best player they cut? Who's the best player they cut?
The best player they cut? Probably yeah. Oren Burks.
I agree.
Well, Oren Burks did not belong in that preseason finale, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
This is someone who played 91 games. He was making every play. He was so far advanced over anyone else on that field.
Yeah.
He could still give you some quality snaps. So it would be Oren Burks for me.
Yeah.
Last one for me, Andrew. Does Howie Roseman have a trick up his sleeve here on James Bradbury, or you think he's looking to ride it out with him for a little bit?
It's hard to envision James being here. I think over the next week it'll be interesting. I know that there's probably – it's not for lack of trying, put it that way, Xander, but when you have a safety there that doesn't play special teams, you can't put him at corner, he's still learning a new position, how much is he realistically going to be able to help you on game day? I just don't see the long-term fit. So I think that he'll probably have to move off in one way or the other in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing there. Andrew, great stuff today. As always, man, you were tremendous covering training camp all through the offseason. So we followed your work closely here on Birds 365. Hope to talk to you again soon. Andrew, thanks for joining us today, man.
Absolutely. Have a great day, guys.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks, Andrew
Pacheco joining us on Birds 365. Always great to talk to Andrew Pacheco here. I think he's done a really good job on the Fanatic and on Inside the Bird. So good stuff from him. Johnny Mac, any takeaways on what Andrew had to say there?
Yeah, he's right about Oren Burks. He didn't belong on the field in that Vikings game. And that's probably the best player the Eagles had to cut. And, you know, he'd probably be here if he didn't have that knee injury at the start of camp. He missed so much time. I think if he were healthy, he'd probably still be here. And the butterfly effect of that would probably be Ben Van Sumeren wouldn't be here. So, and I don't think that would be a good thing. So I that's my overriding thought about the Eagles cut down to 53. Not really a lot of stuff to worry about. You know, sometimes there's one player like, boy, I wish they could have kept him. I don't see that player. And Oren would be the closest, and I don't think anybody's losing sleep over that.
Yeah, good stuff there. John, I got a good question. Well, first, we have a super chat, so I'll get to that. But I do want to bring this up because I think this is a good question. Sometimes we do these shows every day and we forget that not everybody has time or is as knowledgeable. Philly Fan Max, thanks for the question, man. We appreciate it. In an effort to educate John, Philly Fan says, what is the difference between waiving and releasing players? Can you break that down, Johnny Mac?
Yeah, it's just the difference between being a vested veteran and not being vested, which is 4 years in the NFL. So if you're vested, you're released. You don't have to go through waivers. You're essentially a free agent. You can negotiate, have your agent negotiate with anybody. You can sign at any time. You're completely free. If you're waived, you have to go through waivers. All 32 teams get a shot at claiming you. 31, obviously, if you're released by a certain team, they don't count. So the 31 other teams can claim you. And then it goes by order of waiver claims. So right now it's still based on last year's record. So Carolina has the first waiver claim, and it goes down all the way down to the Kansas City Chiefs at 32. And if Carolina claims anybody, they're getting them. That's how it works. There's a lot of times that players get claimed by multiple teams, and it's always the one with the higher waiver priority that is awarded the player. So the Eagles are down that list as well as a playoff team. A lot of bad teams get a chance at players before, but that's the difference between waivers and guys who are released. Vested veterans are released. Younger players have to go through waivers.
Yeah, so in a way, it's it's the silver lining to if your team sucks. So James Jones, our resident Commander fan, you know, there's a silver lining for you, James, that your team is higher up on the waiver wire. So maybe if somebody releases a guy, you can pick him up and get him before a team like the Eagles or the Chiefs could get him. So good stuff there. John, we got about 5-6 minutes left to go here. I'm going to bring up this super chat here from our man, James Carver. James, thank you, brother. Happy birthday to you, James. I know you weren't in. You came in, James. You said, it's my birthday. You gifted 46 memberships and you were gone. And I'm like, who? It's James's birthday. We're supposed to be giving him gifts and he's gifting everybody else. That says the kind of guy you are, James. So we appreciate you for being here. He says, J Mac, do you see Howie having any interest in either Bakhtiari as a backup tackle guard and or the Steelers center? He says, I think his name's Combs, but I don't think it's Combs. I don't know who the Steelers center is that was released. But anyway, any interest, do you think, John, for a guy like that on the backup on the offensive line?
Not Bakhtiari. I mean, Bakhtiari's
too old, right?
Well, he's one, he's like a multi-time Pro Bowl, so a really good player when he was healthy. And if he is healthy, I'm sure he's not going to be happy with being a backup. But I don't know where he is health-wise. He is old, plus 30. That's not what you want as a backup. In theory, if he wants to play, he's going to be expensive. You know, he's a five-time All-Pro, never mind Pro Bowl. I would say not a fit from that standpoint. And then I don't know. I know the Steelers, Nate Herbig was on track to be the starting center, our old friend from Philadelphia, and he got hurt, and now I believe they're going to go with Zach Frazier's pretty high level rookie. So I'm not sure who you're talking about. I think the Eagles have enough at center that they just released that they're just going to bring one of those guys back, whether it's Toth or Gates.
Yeah.
And certainly they're going to bring Dylan McMahon back. I'm not sure. I think more likely they go outside the organization when it comes to tight end. But if they like a player, they like a player. And it's tough to – it generally comes down to, did you like the player in the draft coming out? And did you like him so much that you want to work with him? Generally, that's who you claim on waivers. And you never know who that might be for the Eagles.
Another good question here from our man, JM. JM, thanks for being here, man. Make sure you guys hit that like button. JM says, if a team claims a player off of waivers, do they have to put the player on the roster or can they stash them on the practice squad?
No. You have to put them on the 53.
Right.
And that's why a lot of guys – 35 to 40 guys are going to get claimed generally. That's
at 1100 plus.
Yeah. You cannot claim somebody to put them on your practice squad. They have to go on to 53, and that's why it's a little bit overblown by fans most years. Because not a lot of teams have a lot of spots on their 53.
Yeah, most teams are struggling to get down to 53. They're not going to.
Yeah. You know, well, I wouldn't say that. There's a lot of bad teams. You'll see one or two who pick up four or five of that 35 or 40, and that tells you they're a bad football team because they have nobody they want to work with. That is a bad sign. If you pick up a bunch of people on waivers, that is a very bad sign that you have a weak roster. If you pick one or two, that could be just, you know, GMs want to do something. A lot of times they want to say, look at me, I'm doing something. It comes down to that. In the case of the Eagles, Parham's vested. He's got to be vested by this point. Yeah, he came in 2019, so he doesn't even have to go through waivers. Jack Stoll would have to go through waivers. But yeah, if they're going to claim somebody or sign somebody, it's probably going to be a tight end for the 53. But yes, if you claim somebody on waivers, they have to go on your 53. You can't just claim them to put them on the practice squad.
Good stuff, Johnny Mac. Just a couple minutes left to go here on the show. A lot of big crowds still all the way to the end. So thanks, everybody, for being here today. Thank you for your contributions. 173 likes. Look at that. Good stuff, everybody. If you guys enjoyed the show today, make sure you guys hit that like button, as it really does help our channel grow. So it's one of the things you guys can do for us if you want to. I don't want to beg you, but if you want to help us out, that does help by liking the show. It just tells YouTube to show the show to more people. So if you can drop that like, if you enjoyed the show, we appreciate that. John, any closing thoughts on the day, man?
Practice squad day. Always exciting to see it assembled. I don't expect the Eagles to fill out all 16 spots today, but 13, 14 at least. And they might look outside the organization, bring some people in for workouts and try to fill the final one or two spots. But the vast majority of the practice squad will be assembled today. And as Howie was saying last night, incomplete. Today it will be mostly complete.
Yep.
So and they'll be on the practice field at 3.
Yep,
all of them.
Following it all day long today. John, maybe we'll try and get a quick 24/7, and then I got to see it. I have a tight schedule tonight, but hopefully maybe we can do something.
Yeah, probably not tonight because I have to do some things with my wife's car. Some issues there. So I'm going to be
car problems, Johnny, man.
Yeah. I'm going to be,
you have a good driving mechanic. You at least have a good mechanic.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to be driving her around once I get out of practice. So it's probably not going to fit today, but we don't get to watch practice today. So it's not.
Yeah. Got it. So we'll do the update in the morning on the practice squad. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew what our schedule was. Johnny Mac's got an errand day with the wife before he gets down to NovaCare. So good stuff, John. Thanks for the show today, man. Great stuff as always. Thanks to our two guests, Mike Gill and Andrew DiCecco. I thought everybody was great today. I thought everybody in the chat was great. Great commentary all day long. Appreciate all of you guys for being in here, being so loyal to the show. And thanks to James Carver for his 40.
Yes. Thanks, James. Thank you.
To Jacob Sports. Welcome to all of our new members. You guys are officially entered into the Saquon Barkley jersey giveaway. So if you're not a member and you want to be in that, take charge and become
a member. That's another thing, by the way, for all you Jersey people, there's going to be number changes today too.
So good thing we didn't order any. I don't think Saquon's number's changing, but we haven't ordered any jerseys
yet.
That's
not changing. Yeah, Quinyon might change if he went dirty.
I grew up when I was a goalie in hockey, John. So I was number 30 after my favorite goalie at the time was Martin Brodeur. So I saw 30 on Quinyon. I'm like, I love it. I love it. And everybody else is ripping it. I'm like, oh, come on. I like the 30 on Quinyon, but I'm biased.
I think it was 27 in college.
Yeah, he was 27 at Toledo.
So I don't know if he likes that number, but Zach McPherson was 27. So you might see a Quinyon Mitchell change. And I hope people didn't buy that jersey yet.
No, they probably didn't. And if they did, then that's a tough hit. But no matter what, I think he'll be a big member of the team. So at least you have his name on there. Maybe get some tape and fix the number if you changed it. But all right, everybody. Thanks, everybody. John, great stuff today, man. We'll be following your coverage of today. I don't know if you're going to talk to anybody or what, but we'll be following along on your X account. Make sure you guys follow John there at JF McMullen. Follow me there at Xander Kraus. Thanks, everybody, today. Johnny Mac, good show, man. Talk to you tomorrow morning. All right, brother.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
See you tomorrow morning, everybody, on Birds.
Ohio football fans, picture this.
You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.